Hey there, Legal Eagles. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Awesome. Today we're looking at Cotter v. Lyft, a case that's been making waves. And you guys sent in some really interesting articles on this one.
Yeah.
So it seems like you're really curious about how it all played out and what it means for the future of, gig work and all that stuff.
Definitely a hot topic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're going to break it all down,
Totally.
The legal complexities, all the juicy details, and hopefully leave you with some food for thought.
Sounds good.
All right. Yeah. So Cotter v. Lyft, essentially it all boils down to this whole employee versus independent contractor debate.
Right. A classic.
Right. But in the age of app-based work and the gig economy,
yeah,
it gets...
Oh, yeah. It gets murky.
Really murky.
Yeah.
So I've got Patrick Cotter and Alejandra Maciel.
Okay.
These are two former Lyft drivers,
mm-hmm.
and they claim they were misclassified as independent contractors.
Right.
Cotter was let go for using a vehicle that wasn't approved by Lyft. And Maciel got the boot because of low passenger ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So already, doesn't that sound a little bit like...
Yeah, there's some control there.
Right.
It raises questions.
It does, yeah.
About how much control Lyft really had over these supposedly independent workers.
Exactly. And that's what they were arguing, right?
Exactly.
Like, if we're truly independent... Why can they
fire us?
Terminate us based on these criteria.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a huge deal because employee status,
Oh, yeah.
It comes with a whole bunch of legal protections and financial obligations for companies like Lyft.
Right.
We're talking minimum wage, overtime, pay reimbursement for expenses, all that good stuff.
So it's way more than just, two drivers.
Oh, absolutely.
This is about the bigger picture.
This is about the very definition of employment in the gig economy.
Totally. But how did the court even approach this?
Okay, so they use something called the Borrello test.
Okay.
Which has been around for decades.
It's a multi-factor test. And they use this to try and figure out if these drivers were employees or independent contractors.
So this test was created before.
Oh, yeah. Way before.
The gig economy.
Way before Uber, Lyft, any of that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it looks at things like the right to control the work.
Okay.
How integrated the work is into the company's core business, the skills required, who provides the tools and equipment.
Okay.
Length of service and the method of payment.
Okay. So
a lot to consider.
It's not black and white.
Not at all. Some factors might point towards employee status, while others could suggest an independent contractor relationship.
Right. Like in this case, Lyft had some control over how drivers operated, right?
Yeah, they used GPS tracking and they had those termination policies we talked about.
Right. But then at the same time, drivers chose their own hours and used their own vehicles.
Exactly. That's the tricky part.
So it's a tug of war.
It really is. And to make things even more interesting, the judge actually said that he felt this Borrello test was kind of outdated. Yeah. He basically said it wasn't really equipped to handle the complexities of the gig economy.
Wow. So even the judge is saying, we need a new playbook.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
He even suggested that maybe Lyft drivers should be a new category of worker altogether.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like, how do you balance the flexibility that gig workers want with the need for basic labor protections?
Right. It's a tough one.
Yeah. It's a real dilemma.
It is. And I'm sure our listeners are like, okay, so what happened?
Right. Well, in a surprise move, the court decided that the question of classification was too close to call, and they kicked it over to a jury.
Whoa. So everyday people had to decide the fate of Lyft drivers.
Yeah. Talk about pressure.
No kidding. They had to look at all the evidence, those Borrello factors,
yeah.
and determine if Lyft's control was enough to make them employees.
Exactly. And, this case doesn't just impact Lyft.
Right.
It has implications for the entire gig economy. Uber, DoorDash, Instacart, the list goes on.
It's a big deal.
Huge. And everyone was watching to see what the jury would decide.
Oh, yeah. This is like a canary in a coal mine.
Exactly. It could signal a major shift in how we define work in the digital age.
Absolutely. So much at stake.
Definitely. And with that, the jury started deliberating.
Back again, Legal Eagles. Where were we? Oh, yeah. That jury's got a tough job ahead of them.
You said it. And remember how the judge was kind of wrestling with that Borrello test?
Yeah, he wasn't too happy with it.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he actually made some interesting comments in his ruling.
Like what? Spill the tea.
Okay, so at one point he straight up said, the test the California courts have developed over the 20th century for classifying workers isn't very helpful in addressing this 21st century problem.
Oof, shots fired.
Yeah, he didn't hold back. He also pointed out how some Borrello factors point towards employee status, others towards independent contractor status, and some are just ambiguous.
So he's basically saying the test is outdated.
Yeah, pretty much. It's
Yeah.
like trying to apply horse and buggy laws to self-driving cars.
Yeah, I see his point. But it must be so frustrating as a judge
I can imagine.
to deal with these totally new business models.
Yeah, right. These cases are pushing the boundaries of existing laws.
For sure. But did he offer any solutions?
Actually, yeah. He mentioned that maybe the legislature needs to step in and create a new category of worker.
Interesting. So like a hybrid between employee and independent contractor.
Exactly. And he even suggested that the number of hours worked could be a factor.
That's an interesting idea. But wouldn't that create a logistical nightmare?
Yeah, it would definitely add complexity, but it shows how hard it is to balance flexibility with worker protections.
Yeah, it's a real balancing act.
And in the end, it seems like the court was basically saying, look, this is a bigger societal question that we need to figure out.
And they put it in the jury's hands.
Yep. It was up to those everyday people to decide.
So what were the main arguments during the trial?
Well, Lyft's lawyers were all about that independent contractor status.
Okay.
They kept emphasizing the flexibility drivers choose their own hours, use their own vehicles, they're their own bosses.
So painting them as true free agents. But Cotter and Maciel's lawyers obviously had a different take.
They did. They focused on how much control Lyft actually had over the drivers.
Right. So it wasn't just about when they worked, but how they worked.
Right on. They pointed to those terms of service Lyft's monitoring of driver behavior and their use of performance metrics.
So even if drivers set their own schedules, they still had to play by Lyft's rules.
Exactly. And remember, Cotter was deactivated for using a car that Lyft didn't approve.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty big control point.
Right. If they were truly independent contractors, Lyft shouldn't care what kind of car they use.
Makes sense. And they also brought up Lyft firing drivers based on customer ratings.
Which again suggests an employer-like level of control.
Yeah, it definitely blurs the lines.
It does. And you can see why the jury took so long.
Yeah, they had a lot to unpack.
A lot of evidence to consider, a lot of arguments to weigh. And remember, this wasn't just about Cotter and Maciel.
Right. This had implications for the whole gig economy.
Delivery services, freelance marketplaces, you name it.
It's like this case was a wake-up call.
It forced everyone to look at how we're treating workers in this new digital age.
And whether the old rules are still relevant.
Exactly. And it put a lot of pressure on gig companies to clean up their act.
So a mistrial might not seem like a huge deal, but it definitely made waves.
Absolutely. It sparked a national conversation about workers' rights and the future of work.
So everyone's on the edge of their seats waiting for that verdict.
And that's what we'll be diving into next time.
Okay, so we're back for the final verdict. Drum roll,
All
please.
right, all right. Let's not get too dramatic.
Okay. But seriously, after all that, what did the jury decide?
Well, they deliberated for days, weighed all those factors, the evidence, the arguments, and they came back with
Come on, don't leave me hanging.
a split decision.
What? A split decision. So they couldn't agree.
Nope. They were completely deadlocked.
Wow. Talk about a cliffhanger ending.
Right. But even though there wasn't a clear winner, this case had a huge impact.
Really? How so?
Well, first of all, it put this whole worker classification issue front and center.
Yeah, suddenly everyone was talking about gig workers and their rights.
Exactly. It was like Cotter v. Lyft ripped the Band-Aid off a wound everyone knew was there but didn't want to deal with.
So it sparked a national conversation.
And a lot of pressure on these gig companies to take a hard look at how they're classifying their workers.
They couldn't ignore it anymore?
Nope. And there were actual legal changes too.
Like what?
Well, remember how the judge suggested maybe the legislature needed to step in?
Yeah, he thought a new worker category might be necessary.
Right. Well, California took that to heart and passed Assembly Bill 5, or AB 5.
Oh, yeah. AB5. That have been causing quite a stir.
It has. Basically, it made it way harder for companies to classify workers as independent contractors.
So it's a lot stricter than the Barella test.
Oh, yeah. Under AB 5, companies have to prove that the worker is free from their control, that the work is outside the usual course of their business, and that the worker is customarily engaged in an independent trade.
So it's like they really have to jump through hoops.
They do. And it's not just California. Other states are looking at AB 5 as a model for their own legislation.
So Cotter v. Lyft really set the wheels in motion.
It did. It was like the first domino to fall, and now we're seeing a ripple effect across the country.
Wow. So what about Cotter and Maciel? Did they get anything out of all this?
Well, even though the class action part of the lawsuit stalled, Lyft eventually settled with them for over $12 million.
Wow, that's a big chunk of change.
It is. And it shows that even without a legal precedent, these cases can be really costly for companies.
So it sends a strong message.
definitely don't mess with worker classification.
So where do we go from here? Is the gig economy going to look totally different in a few years?
Hard to say for sure. The legal landscape is still evolving. New cases are popping up. Lawmakers are reacting. Gig companies are adapting.
It's a dynamic situation.
It is. But one thing's for certain, Kotter v. Lyft was a game changer.
It was. It forced us to confront some really tough questions about work fairness and how technology is changing everything.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So there you have it, folks. Our deep dive into Kotter v. Lyft, a case with twists and turns and huge implications for the future of work.
And remember, listeners, you're a big part of this. Keep sending us those fascinating articles and we'll keep bringing you these deep dives.
That's right. Until next time, Legal Eagles.